This is the Last Week in English podcast, summer semester 2019, week 4. With me, Mark Jacob, here at the TU Berg Academy Freiburg. In the last 3 episodes, we've had guests from North America, one originally from South America, and this week we are going to a completely different continent, to Africa. Today's guest is from Nigeria, and he's not only working towards his PhD under the supervision of Professor Stefan, he's also managing a project called Empower for other PhD students. He completed a master's in international business in developing and emerging markets here in Freiburg, a year of which was spent in Paris. So, welcome Desmond Okwa.
Thank you, Mark, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. So, before we start talking about your work and business, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Okay, you said my name. Mm-hmm. My name is Desmond Arinze Okwo. Mm-hmm. Arinze, not many people know, is mm-hmm. my kind of local name. Just like with most people in Nigeria, we always have our local name and our baptismal name. Mm-hmm. So, or what other people call English name. Mm-hmm. So Desmond is my English name. So I am from a little city in Nigeria, mm-hmm. a city known for commercial activities. Mm-hmm. My parents, just like most people in the city, are into commercial activities, mm-hmm. trading on goods and services, like trading on clothes. I did my bachelor in marketing mm-hmm. in Nigerian University, Delta State University. And after that, I decided to come here for my master's, after which I've started with my PhD.
So tell us a little bit about your family.
I've been married for 5 years plus. Mm-hmm. Actually, we had our wedding mm. 1 month before I came to Germany, which many people consider very, very bad on my own side to have taken such a selfish decision.
Yeah.
But she has been a pillar of support mm. to me and our 2 kids. Mm-hmm. And so it's been wonderful with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your wife is from Nigeria then, and what about languages? How do you communicate with your children now they're in Germany?
That's an interesting question. Yes, my wife is a Nigerian, and of course it is not easy for us, especially mm-hmm. for the kids mm-hmm. in school, because they grew up in Nigeria and mm-hmm. only came here like 1 year ago. Mm-hmm. So we've decided that at home we try to use the whole languages. Mm-hmm. We speak our local language, which mm-hmm. is called Igbo. Mm-hmm. And we speak the official language in Nigeria, which is English. Mm-hmm. And we also try to speak German, because mm-hmm. they only speak German in school. Mm-hmm. So they need to learn the 3 languages to survive here.
Right.
We consider it important that they also continue learning the local languages, because yeah. they need to keep the contact with home. Mm-hmm. And they need the English language. So at home, we speak the 3 languages, and it's not easy for them at this mm. stage. So you see them mixing up the 3 languages to make a right. sentence, but they will get there with time. So that's how we do with the language thing.
Yeah. And what about English in Nigeria? Because I always say to my students, oh yes, there's English, US English, there's British English, Canadian English, Indian English,
yeah.
Nigerian English.
Yeah, the official language in Nigeria is English.
Yeah.
Because of colonization, we are colonized by Great Britain, your
yeah.
country.
Yeah.
So we speak English in mm. schools, mm. in official places, because mm. it is the official language.
Yeah,
Nigeria is a vast country mm. with hundreds of different languages. Mm. local languages. So the only way to understand everybody in Nigeria is with English. So for government, English is important. But aside English and aside the local languages, we have another form of English which we call the Nigerian kind of local or street English language. And that is Pidgin English. A Pidgin English is the kind of language somebody who is not educated will speak. It's the kind of English he will speak to somebody that is not from his own tribe. It is also the kind of English that even the educated people use as a form of informal communication with their friends and their relatives. Or with their friends who do not understand their local languages. So for instance, if I'm speaking with a Nigerian here in Germany or back in Nigeria who doesn't understand my local language, and this is a friend of mine, and we are discussing something that is personal to us or just out of business, the most likely language I will use is Pidgin English, not English. This is a sign of closeness or friendship. Once I start speaking English with the person, it means we are not, we are now dealing formally. So this is just the kind of the conventional understanding of our languages. So most people in Nigeria, we have good understanding of Pidgin English. They will speak English and then they have at least one local language they know.
Could you give us an example of something in Pidgin English?
In English you will say how are you. In Pidgin English you will say how you day.
How you day.
How you day.
How you day.
The word day is very important in Pidgin English. It is used for so many things. So I can say I am fine in English, but I can say in Pidgin English I day fine. So day is kind of, so bring two English words and put day in the middle, you've made a sentence. So if I want to say that the cup is there, I can say it is there. Or I can say it day there. It day there.
It day there.
So I can say I am hearing you. And I can say I day here. So day is really important in Pidgin English. It makes it very simple.
Okay, so if I learn the word day, then maybe I can.
Maybe you will survive.
Survive.
And coincidentally, most thing in Nigerian entertainment industry, especially the music, Nigerian music, is in Pidgin English. In fact, it's the understanding that music, Nigerian music in pure English does not sell. You have to do it in Pidgin English.
Okay.
So all our comedians, all our musicians, they produce their masterpiece in Pidgin English. So you have to really learn Pidgin English to enjoy Nigeria.
Okay, well, maybe we'll try that in one of my lessons then with the students.
That would be very interesting.
But how did you find out about Freiburg?
Thank you. That's really an interesting story because, honestly, I did not plan to come to Freiburg. I'm sure maybe you've had similar stories from people, but I applied thinking that Freiburg is Freiburg. And I felt the program is a very wonderful program that suits my intentions and previous activities. But I also wanted to go to a big city, which I felt Freiburg is. I only realized I was coming to Freiburg when I was booking my ticket. And I was really, really, really surprised. But it has always been something I look at and I laugh because now I think I've enjoyed Freiburg and I'm happy I made the decision to come here.
Yeah, well, I think that's it was a good decision based on the actual program.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And what were your first impressions of Freiburg?
My first impression about Freiburg, I saw Freiburg as a typical university city, a place where you can come and have all the concentration and quietness you need to survive in your studies without unnecessary disturbances. So Freiburg for me is a peaceful place. I like it a lot because it's not only very cheap place to be, but it's a small city where you can just focus on your studies and lock yourself out of the noise and the disturbances of social lives and other unnecessary activities that the youths can get involved in big cities. So Freiburg has given me that feeling of being in an enclosure, a place where I can go on inside myself and think. Especially now I am into my research, I can think without noise or kind of pollutions everywhere. That was why I actually returned to Freiburg when I went to Paris.
Okay, that's right. I mentioned in the intro that you spent a year in Paris.
Yes, I went to Paris thinking that after staying in Paris, I would not come back to Freiburg. Surprisingly, I started missing Freiburg while in Paris because Paris was really too loud for my life. I couldn't survive staying there. And when I had the opportunity to come back to Freiburg, I said, of course I'm going back there. It has become like a home for me in Europe. So I like this town. It's really nice for me.
And how long have you been here?
I have been here now for 5 years and few months since I came here. Of course, I left for 1 year in to Paris, after which I returned, and I have since been here.
Right. And going to Paris, though, was part of your program in Freiburg. Is that right?
Yes. IBDEM, it's a program with the option of going out to partner universities. And among the universities the students can go to, Paris is one of them. And in Paris, there is the option of having double degree, staying double semesters to get additional degree.
Right.
And I don't know, because maybe because of where I'm coming from, we like titles and so many certificates. And I felt this is a one-off opportunity. So even though the task was really much, but I had to do the 60 ETCL point in 1 year to get the double degree. And now when I go back home, I can tell them I have MBA and MSc because of my stay in Paris. But aside the title, the program was really, really what I wanted because it is a training on project management. And during the program, we had opportunity to go to European Union, OECD countries office, and to speak with some other people from United Nations and to attend some of their conferences. And it was really an eye-opener for me, especially in some of the projects I've done before I came here and the ones that I plan to do. So aside the title, I learned a lot from there.
And you just know you mentioned you did some projects before you came to Freiburg.
That is true.
Was that after doing your bachelor then, or during your bachelor studies?
It was during my bachelor studies. In Nigeria, I was the president of the Catholic Youths. Catholic Youth, the Catholic Church, in the state where I am from, a state of about 7 million people.
That's bigger than Saxony.
Yes, it's bigger than Saxony. And 70% of the people there are Catholics. And because of that, the church becomes a very important organization in the society. And because of also my background, I I was elected to be the president of the youth of this state.
Mm-hmm.
And during my stay there, we tried to do so many projects.
Mm-hmm.
We started so many empowerment programs for the youth.
Mm-hmm.
We started taking the skill acquisition training to the villages to make sure that the young ones without formal education can get some kind of skill to start agricultural activities or start any petty business that can keep them out from troubles and violence. So that was what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I visited my member in prison because he was sent to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a horrible experience because of the condition of people in prison. Before then, I was never in prison. I never visited there. So I never knew what was going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But after going there, we had to do something about it. I spoke to some people in the church and we got to the governor of the state and we started a small project through which we renovated most of the blocks in the prison.
Right.
To give the prisoners at least a human environment to stay.
Yeah.
Even though they might have committed some crimes, at least they need a good place where they can be helped to come out of their bad behavior or their mistakes.
Yeah.
But of course, there are many, many innocent people there. But that was not our concern. It was also to just make sure that the human beings there have a place or they can say, this is a place a human being can live.
Yeah.
So that was one of the projects I did. And some other projects that I may not enumerate all of them but yes, I was involved in different projects before I came here.
Okay. And what gives you that drive, that motivation to carry out these projects?
I don't know. If I'm not, I would not say it is only peculiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe yes. I grew up in a place where the government does not care about the people.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a place where I've seen so many youth with wonderful talent waste their life because of not having the right direction or the right guidance. So, and I was fortunate enough to be surrounded with people who tried always to direct me and lead me in the right path. And this compared also with the fact that I have always been inside the church activities and have been close to the priest made me to kind of feel it is my duty to help my younger ones or my friends to be in the right path.
Right.
And when I saw myself by chance being elected as the leader of the youth, it built tremendously an extraordinary zeal in me to do more. And the more I did, the more I wanted to do more. And that is how I found myself doing the projects that I did.
Okay, so it came from an early age then, and you had some good role models.
Yes, you can say that. I had very good role models, which my parents were one of them.
Okay. Right. So coming back then to Freiburg, and I asked you about your first impressions. What about the people here? Your interactions with the people on your course or the people from the city? Who did you, when you came here, who did you talk to? Who did you spend time with?
Okay. When I came to Freiburg, I think it was on the 29th of September 2013.
Okay. You remember the exact
it
day.
It was in the night around 10 p.m. and I was picked by one Mr. Peter, who is a contractor for the houses here, helps people to get into houses.
Yeah.
So I came in here that night. And my first room here was in a flat of seven rooms,
mm-hmm.
and I had six neighbors mm-hmm. or flatmates,
mm-hmm.
and they were all Germans.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first contact with mm-hmm. people that lives in Freiberg.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, two out of the six guys are from Freiberg as well.
Yeah.
But they decided not to stay in their parents' home,
yeah.
but just to stay uh-huh. alone. So we had a nice time. It took me a while to get to know how they behaved. Mm-hmm. But at last, I realized that it doesn't matter the color
mm-hmm.
or where people are. We are kind of all human beings
mm-hmm.
that want respect and mm-hmm. need people to realize that we don't care, we can also respect them. So I would say in general, my first contact with these guys mirrors my activities and my contacts afterwards
right.
with other people in Freiberg. It has always been that people don't want you to disturb them unnecessarily,
mm-hmm.
but they are not interested in hurting you.
Mm-hmm.
They will respect you if
mm-hmm.
they realize that you are of the good part,
mm-hmm.
that you don't want trouble.
Right.
I actually think that one of the reasons why it seems some people are cold towards others
mm-hmm.
is because they don't know what you are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel the best thing is to just keep to themselves
mm-hmm.
and not come and approach you.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you approach them, at least in my case, whenever mm-hmm. I approached anybody that lives here or is from Freiberg,
mm-hmm.
I have always gotten a very good feedback,
mm-hmm.
a laugh, and
right.
a very good response, showing
yeah.
me that, of course, we like you, of course, we don't mind you being here,
yeah.
of course, you're a good person, and of course, goodness transmits everywhere.
Yeah.
If you show me goodness, I'll try to reciprocate with good. So this has been my feeling, and I must say that in almost 5 years or more than 5 years I've been in Germany, I've never experienced any kind of what maybe I would call racism
mm-hmm.
in Freiberg.
Yeah.
I've experienced it once in the whole of Europe
mm-hmm.
and that was in Karlsruhe.
Okay.
And I was amazed because all my friends had always said, what are you doing in East Germany? They are racist. So when this happened in
yeah.
Karlsruhe, I had to call my friend and say, whoa, you guys need to go and learn from people in Saxony.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's been a wonderful story here for me.
Yeah. And after your master's, you continued here and you started
yeah.
a PhD. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
I finished my master's and I felt I could go back and start working.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing in me said, you are in Europe, why
mm-hmm.
not get everything
right.
that the school can offer?
Mm-hmm.
So I had a job opportunity in Nigeria
mm-hmm.
and I jumped to it
mm-hmm.
because I needed to go back to my family.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that is the right decision to take.
Right.
So I took the job.
Mm.
And did the job with an organization that is into empowerment as well,
mm-hmm.
but at the national level.
Mm-hmm.
I did it for 6 months and I called Professor Stefan and said, in case if there is any opportunity for me to do my PhD here,
mm-hmm.
I will come back.
Mm-hmm.
He said, of course, I need you to be here. If you would come back tomorrow,
yeah.
I will be happy. But it's just a little problem. We need to look for funding for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once we get this, please come anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started working towards it. And within another 6 months, we started talking about scholarship. I was fortunate to get one.
Mm-hmm.
And I packed my bags and said, I'm going back to Freiberg. So that was what really happened. And I came back to do my PhD and I felt, what am I supposed to do in PhD? And I had this vision of providing something that is fundamental but lacking in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt the government needed to do something about it. And this is about the insurance activities or insurance services.
Mm-hmm.
In Nigeria, there is practically no insurance for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance concept is kind of new to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's there, but people do not trust the sector at all. Meaning that nobody in Nigeria has any good insurance.
Right.
So I felt this is an area I can look into. So that informed my topic for my PhD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were the one who kind of came up with the idea for your PhD, is that right?
Yes, I discussed this with Professor Stefan.
Mm-hmm.
I told him what I needed my PhD to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
He was very honest to me. He told me he's not a specialty in this field,
right,
but he's going to give me all the necessary support that I need, which I must confess he has given me more than the support that I need.
Yeah.
And we all try to look for some way to link it up with what he's specially known for,
mm-hmm.
which is institutionalism and transformation economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt I'm trying to provide insurance in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I need to transform the system,
right,
the institutions, okay, to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that informed actually my topic,
mm-hmm.
because I'm looking at insurance from an institutional angle.
Right.
How can the institution be used to provide these services to people?
Yeah.
So it was my idea, but he kind of amplified and nullified, beautified it to be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what stage are you at now?
I would say that I am at the most critical stage. Because I will knock the wood. Maybe in 2 months' time or maximum 3 months' time, I will turn in my PhD dissertation.
Okay.
I will hand it over. I hope it will go as I've planned, because I've really worked hard.
Yeah.
And I hope by end of July, I'll be done.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you say you've worked hard. I mean, you've been working on another project at the same time.
Yeah.
And you've mentioned the word empower a few times in our conversation. And this project, it's actually called Empower. Is that right? Or what's the name of the project?
Yes, it's... Yes, it is called Empower, but right. Empower is not the only name.
Right.
This is a project by Grafa, mm-hmm. and
Grafa is the
Grafa is the owner of the project.
Right. Okay, and that's the part of the university that looks after the PhD students.
Yes.
Yeah.
Grafa is the kind of the institute for the postgraduate students.
Yeah.
So they are the owner of this project.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting story as well.
Yeah.
I had this idea, like I told you before, of trying to help my colleagues whenever I can.
Yeah.
And I ran into problem
mm-hmm.
with my finances
mm-hmm.
for my PhD. It just stopped coming.
Right.
And I did not understand why. Mm. I could not receive my scholarship anymore.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm using London Stipendium.
Mm-hmm.
And coincidentally, Grafa is managing this scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to go and speak with Grafa managers or administrators. And that led me to Dr. Christina Vopat.
Mm-hmm.
And after discussing with her, talking with her about my situation, she told me it is not supposed to be that my scholarship is going to be there for me,
mm-hmm.
but it was just a little mistake
mm-hmm.
that needed a little time to be ratified.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, that she can find money for me some other
That's
way
good. Yeah.
If I'm ready to work for it. I said, of course, on the condition that it will be something I'm interested in doing.
Yeah.
She said, okay, what do you have in your mind? So, and I thought about this Empower,
mm-hmm.
and I know that PhD students or candidates not only in Freiburg, but everywhere, are lacking something very important.
Mm-hmm.
This situation is even worse for international PhD students.
Right.
These guys start their PhD, go to the lab from Monday to Friday,
mm-hmm.
and do nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And after 4 to 5 years, they make a defense in one particular topic,
yeah.
and they are given doctorate degree and right. asked to go and conquer the world.
Right.
But unfortunately, these guys, after this time, still don't feel confident enough to conquer the world,
mm-hmm.
because they feel they've not really acquired anything.
Mm-hmm.
They've spent 5 years inside the lab checking one chemical or mm-hmm. the other.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give them any additional skill.
Mm-hmm.
So I experienced this with my friends, and I mm-hmm. felt something is lacking.
Mm-hmm.
If we want our PhD graduates to be really conquerors of the world mm-hmm. and doctors in real meaning of it,
mm-hmm.
we need to make them holistically developed,
mm-hmm.
give them human skill, job mm-hmm. skill, and project skill.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way somebody with a doctorate degree will go and start looking for job for beginners.
Mm-hmm.
You will be given a job as a manager. Yeah. And if you don't have the skills to manage,
yeah.
you cannot do the job.
Nice.
So I felt something needed to be done about this.
Right.
And that during the period somebody is doing his or her PhD, there should be an accompanying program
yeah.
that develops the person.
Yeah.
And for me, I felt this is very important, that we can start doing this.
Yeah.
Also, I felt as international students who are here from different parts of the world, especially people like me from developing part of the world,
yeah.
that we need to take something back home.
Yeah.
I am aware there are so many organizations, companies, and parts of government or ministries of government that are interested in extending their development
mm-hmm.
actions to developing world.
Yeah.
And there is no other better ambassador for these countries than their citizens that are already in Europe, especially
yeah.
that are here in Germany. So, if somebody from, for instance, Pakistan or from Kenya is here in Germany, and can start a project, a development project that can link up the resources here and the problems in their individual countries.
Yeah.
We need to do something about it. And this is what I have as a vision
mm-hmm.
of bringing together these PhD students who have the zeal and the desire to make a change in their countries.
Right.
And helping them to gain the necessary project management skills,
yeah.
getting to know the necessary organizations, the necessary networks
yeah.
that they need to make these things happen, and helping them to define their project ideas and perfect it in a way that it can be sustainable when they start it back home,
right.
within the time they are doing their PhD or after their PhD.
Yeah.
So I designed this and I took it to Dr. Vopat, and she said, you know what? I also have this dream, and I've been thinking about it for ages, for more than 10 years, looking for somebody to do it with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, circumstances have brought us together.
Yeah.
Please let us do this.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to do this. I could do it for free. And you said you're going to pay me for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Just know you're paying me for doing my hobby. So we could not agree on the name.
Yeah.
Because we had so many things we felt needed to be in the program.
Right.
At the end, we choose the name Good Governance and mm-hmm. Social Entrepreneurship Program. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
That is the full name.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the main idea is to empower people.
Right.
So we have a second name, Empower.
Yeah.
So If you go to the Grapha website, mm-hmm. what you will see is good governance and mm-hmm. social entrepreneurship program.
Right.
And Empower is in bracket, kind of the second name to it.
Yeah. So how long did it take you then from initially having the idea to getting the project started?
I started speaking about this project with Dr. Vopat in August
mm-hmm.
2018,
mm-hmm.
last year. And within 2 months,
mm-hmm.
I was ready with the blueprint.
Yeah.
And I had to discuss this with so many people, of course, to get their feelings.
Yeah.
One person that really helped me to get it, the blueprint ready, was Professor Stefan.
Mm-hmm.
And he really helped me to, he is a man of so many experiences, having worked with international students for a long time.
Yeah.
And he really gets what I needed and what I wanted to do. So he made tremendous input.
Yeah.
My friends also who are PhD students and who have finished their program also contributed. And we got it ready, and I gave it to Dr. Vopat by September and said, we are ready. And maybe we are not going to have it exactly as it is in the blueprint, but at least we have something to start working.
Yeah.
So in 3 months of starting this, we published the advert
mm-hmm.
for students to enroll. And wonderfully, after the enrollment period, we got 15 students.
Okay, wow.
But we needed only 12 students.
Yeah.
And it was difficult, but we had to ask some of the students to step out, not to come in. So we picked only 12 students, mm-hmm. and we have also narrowed it down to 10 students now, because people realize it requires a lot of commitment, and some people cannot combine it with their doctoral programs.
Yeah.
So they had to leave. So we have 10 now, 10 students, and we are going.
Okay, that's great. And how far are you into the program then with them?
It is a two years program.
Mm-hmm.
We have designed it to run from October
mm-hmm.
2018
mm-hmm.
to September 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now like 6 months or 7 months mm-hmm. into the program. What we are doing now is to help all the participants to design or identify their project idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because without project idea, there is nothing anybody can do about the project. So
mm-hmm.
it's taking us a long time to define the project ideas, and when they are done with this, hopefully by next month, we are going to also complete the analysis on stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by stakeholders are people who we have one or two things to do with their project.
Yeah.
Maybe for their project or against their project when they start doing it.
Yeah.
So they need to do the analysis about this now.
Yeah.
So most of our participants are completing their project idea identification, and the next stage now to complete is the stakeholders analysis, and that will follow from next month.
Okay. I'm thinking of the students that I teach, and I mainly teach undergraduates. So they're kind of at the beginning of their university career, we could say. And quite often they say to me, I ask them what their goals are, and they say, we just want to pass our exams. And I was wondering, with all your experience and perspectives, what advice would you give, say, to undergraduate students? As well as obviously they have to pass their exams, but is there anything else you think they could be, kind of any skills they could be getting or experiences they could be having that would help them later on?
You are very right. Most students have one aim,
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. and that is to pass the exam. And that is understandable.
Yeah.
I totally understand this because I was also like that. I just needed to pass my exams.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's not all about passing your exam.
Yeah.
Life is more than that. And it is important that students realize this.
Yeah.
First, you need to make sure that what you're studying is what you can live with,
mm-hmm.
the kind of job you can do.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've decided on this, you need to make sure you pick up skills
mm-hmm.
that will help you to be unique
mm-hmm.
in this line of profession.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to spend the rest of your life
mm-hmm.
spending 6 to 7 hours doing something you're not interested in doing.
Right.
You may get all the money for doing this, but you will not be happy.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're doing something you really, really like,
yeah.
you could as well say that you're not working,
yeah.
that you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
And I think students need to realize this.
Yeah.
Nowadays, many people leave their job after 1 year
mm-hmm.
because they realize this is not what they want for themselves.
Right.
So I would advise students to get involved in activities that aligns with their values in life.
Mm-hmm.
Get involved in kind of extra trainings
mm-hmm.
that will help them to be unique in their line of activities or mm-hmm. their line of work
mm-hmm.
they hope to be in.
Mm-hmm.
So these things will help them after their studies to stand out and to really enjoy their life and not just make money.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for that advice. You're coming to the end of your PhD, hopefully, we're touching wood here.
Thank you.
and this project is as you said, 2 years long, you're working on here in Kaffa. Have you got any plans for later on, or maybe you've got some different ideas? I mean, do you want to go back to Nigeria? Do you want to stay in Europe?
You know, I've always answered this question telling people I'm not sure. This is but that's me just being diplomatic.
Yeah, yeah.
I would really want to go back to Nigeria.
Yeah.
But that would be ideally after many years here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Trying to build more network, trying to get experience. It's very important to get the job experience in Europe and to build more networks.
Yeah.
And I can only do this if I've worked here.
Yeah.
So while my permanent plan or long-term plan is to go back to Nigeria and get involved in politics
mm-hmm.
or maybe any kind of development activity,
mm-hmm.
my short-term plan is to stay here in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I would stay with Grafa for some years,
mm-hmm.
Maybe 2 or 3 years mm-hmm. before I leave Grafa,
mm-hmm.
and that will give me enough time to think about what I really want to focus on. Do I go back straight to Nigeria or do I work for another company here?
Mm-hmm.
So that I cannot really decide now, but in the next 2 years I will be with Grafa.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And what apart from, let's say you've already mentioned you're doing your PhD and working on this insurance issue in Nigeria. What other things could you imagine trying to change or improve or transform, say, in Nigeria?
There is a lot to do in Nigeria. I felt very bad when I came back from Nigeria last 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because last 4 months I was in Nigeria. I visited a university in Nigeria, one of the best universities we have in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And I went there because I felt, since IBDEM is having partnership with different universities,
mm-hmm.
IBDEM has a partnership with Asian University, European University,
mm-hmm.
and I feel they should also have with African University.
Right.
So with the help of Grafa and Professor Stefan, mm-hmm. I went to Nigeria to build this network,
yeah,
so that we can get a university where we can send, yeah, students from here.
Yeah.
So that took me to Nigeria, and of course those people, they will be coming to Freiburg in the, yeah, next 1 month to formalize this agreement.
Yeah.
So during the time I was in Nigeria, after leaving Nigeria for a while, 4 years,
yeah,
I felt really that I do not recognize my country anymore.
Right.
Because on paper, Nigeria has no business being poor.
Yeah.
This is a country that is blessed,
mm-hmm,
tremendously blessed with everything we can think about.
Mm.
But the situation there is something you will rather not experience.
Yeah.
Poverty is written on the face of most people.
Right.
You could really see poverty walking.
Yeah.
You could see poverty moving in form of human beings.
Mm.
People are really suffering.
Mm.
So the question you ask me of what are the problems,
mm,
is a question I cannot really get the whole of it.
Mm.
But the most important thing is that there is no job for people. The hospitals are not working very,
mm-hmm,
well.
Mm-hmm.
And the school system is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, as I'm speaking to you,
mm,
the university students have been at home for more than 6 months,
okay,
not going to school.
Yeah.
So I feel these are essential need,
yeah,
that the government needs to provide for people.
Yeah.
And people need to have a job. They need to be able to go to hospital.
Yeah.
They need to be able to go to school,
yeah,
and have a shelter. And these things are not there for, mm, most people,
yeah,
in Nigeria. In fact, the last World Bank report is that Nigeria is the capital of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
That is, that more people are living below poverty line in Nigeria,
mm-hmm,
than any other country in the world.
Okay.
Think, yeah, about this.
Yeah.
China has more than 1 billion people.
Yeah.
India, with more than 1 billion people,
yeah,
Nigerian population is about 200 million.
Yeah.
Yet, we have more poor people below poverty line,
yeah,
than India.
Yeah.
So, in fact, 70% of Nigerians, which translate to about 150 million people, live below poverty line. That is,
okay,
mm-hmm, below 2 euro a day.
Yeah.
In India, they have less than 150 people living below poverty line.
Right. Yeah.
So, Nigeria is experiencing a very bad period.
Right.
And there is a lot of areas that needs to be worked on.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And are there other Nigerians here in Europe with similar ambitions to you? And have you networked with some other Nigerians?
Yes, I have. I started a group,
mm-hmm,
for Nigerians, and this group is for PhD students,
mm-hmm,
and people who have finished their PhD.
Yeah.
We call it Nigerian Researchers, mm-hmm, in Germany.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm, this group, my intention for starting this group,
mm-hmm,
is to do what I'm doing in Empower,
mm-hmm,
for the whole Nigerians here in,
right,
Germany.
Right.
It actually started before Empower.
Yeah.
So it was when I told Dr. Vopat about it,
yeah,
that she said, this is what you're trying to tell me about Empower.
Yeah.
So could you please steal some of your time from the Nigerian group and do it for the, at,
yeah,
least,
yeah,
the developing nations?
Yeah.
So when I called the Nigerian researchers here,
yeah,
we are about 40 people who are doing this in this group.
Yeah.
I told them that we are fortunate to be in Germany.
Right.
It is not going to be a good news if we finish our program here,
mm,
and go back to Nigeria to beg them for a job.
Mm.
The people there don't have enough job.
Mm.
We are here in Europe and we plan to go back with nothing,
mm-hmm,
and just beg them for a job,
yeah,
without bringing anything back home.
Yeah.
It will be wonderful if we can, before we go back, design a project.
Mm-hmm.
Sell it to the organizations here,
yeah,
who I know are interested.
Yeah.
And remind them the benefit of doing this. Nigeria is a very prospective economic place to be
right.
for any business person or any company.
Yeah.
So our people here have the opportunity to design a developmental program that will benefit the people here
yeah.
as well as benefit the people back home.
Yeah.
And this is what I try to do with the Nigerian group.
Right.
And I hope that most of them would continue to do what they are doing now,
yeah.
which is to build this network and to design this program, and hopefully will make some impact in Nigeria. Personally, I've started this by going back to my university, the one I'm trying to build the network
mm-hmm.
for IBDEM.
Yeah.
I feel that would present a tremendous opportunity to people who are studying in Nigeria
yeah.
to come here and do a semester,
yeah.
even if their parents cannot afford their coming here to do full master program.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, it opens up funding opportunities for the university back home.
Yeah.
And this is coupled with other projects that I feel I should do in Nigeria, which
yeah.
are still in the pipeline.
Okay, it sounds like, what can I say to this? I mean, you've done so much, you're doing so much, you're planning to do so much. Yeah, I have to say that I feel inspired and empowered with talking to you here.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. And I think the listeners will too. So I want to wish you all the best.
Thank
your
you
PhD,
very much.
For your project here at CAFA, and for future projects, and for everything else you're involved with.
Thank you.
And I hope it all works out, and I wish the best also for the Nigerians here in Europe and for Nigeria. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mark. It's been wonderful talking with you. I enjoyed this, and I hope your student will find it interesting to listen to.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Thank you very much, Desmond.
Thank you. You're welcome.